Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting here on this beautiful Saturday morning. Well, beautiful, I don't know about beautiful, but we need this kind of weather. Plus, it's fall, my favorite. Kind of gloomy, gray, cloudy, rainy, fall colors, yellow, red. It's going to be great. It's going to get sunny this coming week. It's going to be all beautiful again, but cooler. Kind of typical fall, so looking forward to that. I hope you guys had a blessed week. Once again, it was such a privilege to be able to see so many of you last week at the Panhandle Preparedness Expo. Thank you guys for coming out. And as you know, we didn't do a Saturday show last week. I had hoped that we would be able to pre-record that and get that uploaded and queued so we'd be freed up to do prepper expo-related activities. And with just so many things, you know, of course, Murphy shows up. So many things happen logistically that just kept setting back. Pretty soon, we're going to have to just re-air Friday's commute, morning commute on Saturday. So that's what we did. And then, of course, we were really late getting back Sunday, so we were not able to do a show. We're traveling, unloading all of the gear, and everything's packed up. So, thank you guys for understanding. And I know that you guys that listen to the morning commute on a regular basis, you already got that. I made that announcement, but not everybody is able to. So if you're just listening once a week to the Saturday show or the Sunday podcast, maybe you weren't in the loop there. So there you go. Now you're up to speed. You got the latest information. So I have a kind of a cool announcement. I'm excited. I wasn't going to talk about this in this show, but why not? I have been working on something called the Partisan Operator Journals. It's fictional, dystopian, fictional writing. And these are weekly journals that I wrote as an incentive for the AMRON, the Emergency Radio Communications Network, to be able to, I guess, to have as an incentive, because we practice, you know, weekly on the air, and we had been seeing some numbers, our participation numbers had really started waning into 2019, especially toward the end. And, you know, I was trying to be creative and find some ways that we could, make that more exciting and increase our membership or our participation on these emergency preparedness nets. So I decided to start writing a short, what I call the Partisan Operator Journal, once a week. And it would be anywhere from 1,000 to, 5,000 or 6,000 words, depending on what I was putting into it. But it was supposed to be a whole bunch of a series of short stories explaining how emergency communications might be used by people in a real world disaster. And it turned into be, instead of a whole bunch of individual short stories, I wasn't done telling the first one. So it rolled over into the operator journal number 2, and then number 3 and number 4. Pretty soon, the whole volume 1 of the Partisan Operator Journals, which is 25 journal entries, which took up over half of the year, posting one a week. That now it's basically turned into kind of a novel and a fictional book following just a few key main characters through this event. And the event starts at 0 day plus 12 months. So you're hurled forward a year after this catastrophic event that happens. And so what I did was, and of course, these are, you know, like amateur radio operators and veterans and guys who Now there's foreign troops on our soil helping America recover from this massive disaster called Zero Day. And things just start getting real interesting. So that's what I did, is I hurled the reader 12 months into this. Now I'm working on volume 2, which takes us back to Zero Day. And that's going to that will definitely cover several different groups. But I'm excited because it is now ready to finally go to the publisher. It's going Monday, and we're supposed to have that turnaround in 2 weeks. And so, yeah, I'm just very cool. We're going to be talking more about that. We'll put up a little advert, like a 30-second ad, and information where you can get it. They're going to be available at first through the Gear Store, and then including the ebook version and then the paperback version. So. Yeah, that's what's going on. It's called The Partisan Operator Journal. This is going to be volume 1 and coming out in a couple weeks. So get all the legal stuff and all the technical stuff out of the way. Finally. Took longer than I thought it would. But be looking for that. Just be listening to Radio Free Redoubt. Checking our website, RadioFreeRedoubt.com and Amron.com for more announcements. Oh, by the way, one thing I didn't mention, this is kind of cool. Each weekly journal entry is posted at Amron.com encrypted. So anybody can have access to it, and you can copy and paste the encrypted text and just save it in a text file. And you can't do anything with it, though, unless you decrypt it. And the PTE, or Paranoia Text Encryption Program, which is free and open source, is what's used to decrypt that. But you have to have the password. So how do you get the password? Well, you participate in emergency communications nets. And the varicodes and supplemental varicodes are put out during the nets. And when you collect those from participating on the practice nets, You combine the varicode with the supplemental varicode, and that's the password to decrypt each week. And each week, there's a new password distributed on the nets to open up the corresponding week's journal entry. And so this has created a lot of excitement and buzz, and we've seen a sharp increase in emergency communications training net participation. Not to mention COVID-19 and the civil unrest, the insurrection, and things like that are taking place real world in our country. These things all combined has led to tremendous increase in participation. So that is really cool. Volume 2 I'm working on now. I just started on. Volume 1 is done, about ready to go and be published. So there's your quick little announcement. Some of you guys are already aware of this, and some of you actually are members of Amron. You've been following this along and actually reading those. I don't know of anyone who's copied every single journal entry, though. Everyone that I'm aware of is missing 2 or 3 journal entries. So they're just chomping at the bit, waiting for this to actually be made available. So a couple weeks out, we're very close. Very close. All right, now that's not what I intended to use most of the first half of the segment one of the Saturday show for, but I just made so much. I just had a breakthrough, and I was so excited about it. I just wanted to share it with somebody, and you guys are just sitting here listening, so you got to hear it. All right, now there are some things that we were covering on the morning commute. By the way, thank you guys for listening. And for being out there, it's just really cool being able to meet so many of you. We listen to you guys every day. We love it. We don't miss a show. And that's just really cool. That's really cool to hear from you guys. But there are some things from my notes from the last couple of days that I wasn't able to quite get into. We've been talking about Lauren Culp, the chief of police of Republic, who's very, speaking of published authors, he has a book, American Cop, and he's the one who took a stand saying, I will not enforce these Washington state unlawful, illegal, unconstitutional gun laws. Now he's running for governor, and he has this Democrat governor, Inslee, the incumbent, absolutely shaking in his boots because He's a very formidable candidate. He stands for the rule of law, and the citizens in Washington are getting really sick of the leftist hardcore lockdown measures from this plandemic. And they're tired of it. They're ready to be free. They're watching all these other states that are not experiencing all these deprivation of their rights, and they're faring the same as everyone else. Who's whether you're locked down or you don't lock down, it's running its course, and so people just want to be free. They're ready to be free. They're tired of the Second Amendment encroachments, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth, Sixth Amendment, right on down the line. They're ready to be free. And this governor is probably going to be on his way out. I hope. But, man, did they nail him in some lies. And what a difference in mindset from what Lauren Culp said. These are not peaceful demonstrators that are just exercising their First Amendment rights. They are criminals breaking the law, and the government's doing nothing about it. Except when he was pressured, he called out the National Guard. But there's more to that than what you might realize. And so from the debates between Lauren Culp and the incumbent, the communist, so the American and the communist debate this week to let us determine who, or you folks in Washington, who should be the next governor of Washington State, an American or a communist? An American or a Democrat. So ball's in your court. But I loved what Lauren Culp had to say. This is how he described these First Amendment peaceful demonstrations.
He doesn't know that crimes are being happened, that parts of Seattle have been taken over. And I saw him in that live conference. It was clearly he had no clue what was going on, or he was lying, or one or the other. And yes, he did send in the National Guard. You know, and we all have a right to peaceably assemble and speak our mind, right? That's our First Amendment right. But when it turns violent, when people start looting stores, when they light buildings on fire, cars on fire, and throw rocks and frozen water bottles at our police, that's no longer a First Amendment right. That's a crime. It's called rioting. And although the governor did send in troops, the National Guard, you know, because the governor is the commander-in-chief of the Washington State National Guard, he sent them in there at the request of local law enforcement, but he disarmed them before he sent them in. I will never, ever send our young men and women in uniform into a violent situation without the means to protect themselves and other people. That's what they're going in there for. And when people are committing crimes, the National Guard will assist the local law enforcement to arrest the criminals and put them in jail where they belong. And the rest of the people that are involved in it will be told to disperse because it is a riot. And if they do not disperse, they will be arrested as well. That's how you deal with crime. That's how you shut down a riot.
And there you have it. So is there any doubt in anyone's mind which of these two candidates is the more suitable one to be the governor of the state of Washington? There are some that are trying to say, Lauren Culp, you have just been a chief of police of this little town republic in Western Washington in rural America. You can't understand these complex issues and these large budgets and multinational corporations and this complex infrastructure that we have in Washington. How can you possibly run that? Well, it's not the governor's job to run multi-million-dollar corporations. The point is for the government to get out of the way and let them run themselves. His job as the executive branch head is to make sure that the laws are executed. And he's proven that he's been able to do that. And as far as being able to manage employees, a job, building a business from the ground up successfully in the Puget Sound area, he meets all the requirements for a governor. And when you hear his description of a riot and how to shut one down versus Inslee, who doesn't know what to do, quite frankly, the choice is clear. Now, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to share a little bit more from that debate where Inslee was caught in lie after lie. And we're not even going to cover all of it, but I just want to highlight a few areas just to continue to reinforce the very clear choice who should be running the executive branch of Washington State. The state is named after President Washington, who these communists hate. It just should be ran by a patriot for once. It should be ran by an American for a change. And Lauren Culp's the man for that job. There's nobody, there is no other candidate that's suitable for that position, period. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's hear some of the sound bites from that during the break. Segment one was brought to you by Werks Holsters. That's WERKZ.com. That's their website. Custom-made Kydex holsters and magazine carriers for your sidearms. And also specifically with attachments, lights, lasers, and other accessories. Where you need customized holsters that fit the setup that you have. They really specialize in Sig Sauers and Glocks. But yeah, check them out at Werks.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
Thing called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. What's your thought on that? The fact that the protesters have taken that over and not allowing people to come and go freely?
Well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about that.
You claimed not to know about it, despite it being the subject of nonstop local and national news coverage, despite it trending nationwide on Twitter.
Yeah, well, listen, if you look at the facts of that situation, I could not have been oblivious to it.
Sir, then why do you say you did not know about it? You went on to say, I haven't heard about it from any credible source nearly 2 days after CHOP happened. You're now saying you did know about CHOP.
Listen, I can't tell you. I knew about CHOP.
Chief Culp, on the topic of civil unrest, we're talking about the nightly protests Seattle dealt with at times riots over the summer.
And I saw him in that live conference. It was clearly that he had no clue what was going on, or he was lying, or one or the other. Well, maybe we should talk about the $164,000 a week that this governor paid a global consulting firm to tell him what to do and what to say on the COVID crisis.
I have no idea what he's referring to.
This is a governor who promised 8 years ago that he would not raise taxes. And he has lied to us 33 times. The state budget has almost doubled under his tenure.
Communism is a lying.
I have no idea what he's referring to.
Dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately.
Welcome back to segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt. I love that. I love that. Just nails it. You know, we were warned 60, 70 years ago about communism. Well, here they are right now. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to point them out. We're going to help just point and yell and scream for the rooftops. And our sponsors are helping us do that. Riverfront Suites. Riverfrontsuites.com is the website. 6 fully furnished suites on the St. Joe River in St. Mary's, Idaho. Beautiful fall colors and fall weather. Go check them out. It's a great place to lay your head for your weekend getaway, and go check out the St. Joe River. Beautiful, beautiful this time of year. Now, a couple things that I wanted to point out that I didn't get to yesterday, and I'll go as far as I can with the time that I have. The New American. TheNewAmerican.com is running an article. The New York Times. That's the next one. Jumped ahead of myself. Okay. This is really cool. The Department of Homeland Security is now issuing immigration guidance banning those with links to communism. Like I said yesterday, hallelujah and amen. It's about darn time. We're at a crossroads. What America is and what it looks like and the nation that it will continue to be rests on this election coming up in November. There has never been a more critical time to be at a crossroads for America to determine who we are. Our identity is on the line. And this administration, fortunately, thank God, understands the threat that we have under communism. Communism is not some invisible boogeyman that just only existed in the 80s and only in some people's minds. But they understand that it's real and that they are working to subvert our country and our election process and all of our institutions, from our education to our healthcare to our government institutions, our military, all the way around. So they're standing up against it. Thank God. I'm so grateful. Now, the article that I started to mention, it was a New York Times article, actually, where calling for the UN to intervene in our elections, that the Biden must appeal to the international community because President Trump is obviously going to either steal the election or he's going to lose, and he's going to claim that it's because of voter fraud, which doesn't exist, right? Just ask any communist or Democrat. He's going to refuse to give up power, so the international community is going to have to get involved. And I believe that is the plan of the globalists, the international community. I think we have the most challenging times that we could ever even conceive of still laying ahead of us. And then also, the Daily Wire and several others are running the story that Nancy Pelosi and Democrats are holding an event to discuss the 25th Amendment, which covers the proceedings for removing a president from office. That's the amendment that they would use in the event that a sitting president is found unworthy for public service. So let's go to this. Let's go into this. Which one do we want to cover first? My goodness. Pelosi and Democrats to hold an event to discuss the 25th Amendment, suggesting they'll try to remove Trump from office. Now, they're not saying they're going to do this, but the indicators are there. If you have any discernment about you and the Holy Spirit in you, and you can think rationally, reasonably, logically, and you understand your enemy, we're talking about communists and globalists here, and what they're capable of. In her weekly press conference, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi informed media that she and other Democrats would be discussing the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution. This is her saying it. This is not conspiracy theory. The amendment, which allows a majority of cabinet officials with the assent of the vice president to remove the president because he is unfit to hold office. Democrats have suggested deploying the 25th Amendment to remove President Donald Trump from office before, but this is the first time that leadership, notably the Speaker of the House, has seemingly endorsed the idea. Well, if this is going to require the vice president's assistance, I think not. They're going to try other methods. It will be the international community. And I think that's where the real push, that's where the real fight is going to stem from. It will be the international community asserting the globalists' agenda by intervening in our elections and the results of our elections. In other news, The New American, the Department of Homeland Security, The New American magazine, love these guys. And if you guys are not members of the John Birch Society, now more than ever is the time for you to support them. They are on the leading edge as far as organizations effectively working within the infrastructure of your local politics, local, regional, state, to vet candidates, to educate people on the rule of law and our heritage. And they're an amazing organization. The Epoch Times is doing an amazing job with information, news, and research, but they are not involved at the community level like the John Birch Society is. And they've definitely earned their place as watchdogs against communism and working to help citizens actually get engaged. So look those guys up, the John Birch Society, if you haven't already done so. But Here's an article over at The New American. That's their bi-monthly publication, or bi-weekly, however you want to say it. The Department of Homeland Security is issuing immigration guidelines banning those with links to communism. And the communist Chinese are just spinning out right now. Matter of fact, most of those are spinning out right now. In a move guaranteed to heighten tensions between the United States and China, on October 2nd, the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Agency, a section of the Department of Homeland Security, issued the following policy alert, alerting agents to the following policy changes. God bless this president and this administration. The USCIS policy manual addresses inadmissibility based on membership in or affiliation with the Communist Party or any other totalitarian party. I love it, and I'm glad they put that in there. Membership in or affiliation with the Communist Party or any other totalitarian party is consistent and incompatible with the naturalization oath of allegiance to the United States of America, which includes pledging to support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States. In general, unless otherwise exempt, any intending immigrant who is a member or affiliate of the Communist Party or any other totalitarian party or subdivision or affiliate, domestic or foreign, is inadmissible to the United States. This addition to the policy manual will help officers adjudicate this inadmissibility ground consistent with federal law. I can't tell you how grateful I am to see this. And I'm also glad to see them add in any other totalitarian party. Could you not argue that Islam and Sharia law would be a totalitarian party? I would. Because you cannot be a devout follower of Islam and honestly take the naturalization oath. They're in conflict with each other. All right, folks, you have a blessed rest of the weekend. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Join me tomorrow night, 8 p.m. for our Sunday night podcast. Until then, you guys stay safe. Watch your six. This is John Jacob Schmidt out.